Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Dope. Huh? You know we out here, nigga. Gotta get it. Hey, hey. Ay, my niggas got them Call of Duty guns. They be pulling triggers just to have some fun. Them bullets hotter than the fucking sun. And when you see them coming, boy, you better run. My niggas got them Call of Duty guns. They be pulling triggers just to have some fun. Them bullets hotter than the fucking sun. And when you see them coming, boy, you better run. Dose. We riding round with that fucking hate. Fucking hate. Some shit you probably see on Call of Duty 3. Duty 3. It's Bridgeport, huh? It's like a war hit. Huh? Niggas be walking with some shit from Modern Warfare. Damn. You better know how to act, nigga. Cause if you talkin' shit, then you gettin' clapped, nigga. Cause you know that we don't play like that, boy. You could get laid down straight like that, boy. Ride around my fucking hood and I'm caked up with a bundle on me. Real niggas in the gang shit, cause in the past year lost a couple homies. Couple niggas that's locked up, looking about like 50 years. Shit you see on gangland, know a lot of niggas that do it here. Big money, I be getting it. In the O's of weed, I be flipping it. Yo, bitch pussy, you be licking. It, but she don't tell you I be hitting it. That's crazy. But a nigga like me stay wavy. And I don't trust nobody, cause my nigga got 380. My niggas got them Call of Duty guns. They be pulling triggers just to have some fun. Them bullets hotter than the fucking sun. And when you see them coming, boy, you better run. My niggas got them Call of Duty guns. They be pulling triggers just to have some fun. Have some fun. Them bullets hotter than the fucking sun. And when you see them coming, boy, you better run.
My chopper chopper Call of Duty gun. It hold 100 shots, I threw that bitch a drum. That is too big, man, ain't no hot enough. We in the war zone when niggas dying young. Me, myself, my guns, it's just us, nigga. Headshot your ass 100+, nigga. Put that beam on that Mac, yeah, I could touch niggas. Put that scope on the K, I see you fuck, nigga. I throw that mask on, I feel like I'm Jason. I got that Python, I feel like I'm Mason. Tell my boy Brown, go get that big 30. Just got that shit clean, cause that shit dirty. White and all black, look like an Oreo. That rifle in his hand like he in story mode. I pop a nigga like a fucking Miley. It's free for all, I'm shooting anybody, huh?
My niggas got them Call of Duty guns. They be pulling triggers just to have some fun. Them bullets hotter than the fucking sun. And when you see them coming, boy, you better run. My niggas got them Call of Duty guns. They be pulling triggers just to have some fun. Them bullets hotter than the fucking sun. And when you see them coming, boy, you better run.
32 up in my pocket, Call of Duty gun. Shit bark like a raptor, call it Rudy gun. I be so excited when them Lugas come. My finger get excited when that Ruger dump. Shout out to Belinda, that's that old bitch. Always special cause she got me out that hole quick. Think I'm pussy, run up wrong, you can hold it. Fuck niggas, tell your bitch that she can hold it. Ran up in the store, he think I'm playing, catch this whole clip. Took the bread, then I went and copped a new bitch. She put in work, so now I'm walking with my new bitch. And she squirt, so I love to fuck my new bitch. Niggas fake, so now they talking to my new bitch. Catch you on tape, but you won't get to see the news clip. We smoking great, yeah, we smoking on that good piss. Run your mouth, yeah, that's how you get a good lift.
My niggas got them Call of Duty guns. They be pulling triggers just to have some fun. Them bullets hotter than the fucking sun. And when you see them coming, boy, you better run. My niggas got them Call of Duty guns. They be pulling triggers just to have some fun. Them bullets hotter than the fucking sun. And when you see them coming, boy, you better run.
Yeah, got my Call of Duty guns. That's my favorite song here from the one of the featured guests here tonight, who K-Dose, from his latest mixtape, You Heard Me Now. We will bring him up here shortly, but Mr. my co-host here, Mr. Gasinski, are you there, buddy?
What up, Fuji? What up?
Hey, man, how's it going there in the sticks of New York?
It's going. It's actually kind of warm, man. It's like 35, 40 degrees right now, so it's kind of nice.
And that's warm for you guys, huh?
Yeah. Oh, that's real nice. Yeah, you know, we didn't get fucked up like the Midwest with that nasty
weather. Oh, you didn't get any of that that creepy weather, tornadoes.
Oh,
and stuff.
No.
Oh, yeah. Nope. I know Illinois got hurt and hit pretty bad. Illinois, and Indiana, and we, you know, by the time it hit Ohio here, it was kind of like, it was wussy.
Yeah, we got some of your wussy weather, something like
that. Okay, yeah, you got the spittle left over from,
whatever.
There you go. Oh, yeah, you got a little Ohio spittle there.
Yeah, like the, we didn't even get sloppy seconds, we got, you know. Like sloppy thirds or fourths, it was just...
Yeah, more like, you got sloppy like thirds or fourths. It was like a gangbang thing there. Yeah. You know, gangbang weather. You know, you got like the smegma from, leftover smegma from a bukkake. A bukkake.
It was definitely, it was queefing pus by the time we got here.
Wow. That's kind of, wow. Yeah, that turned my stomach a little bit, man. And speaking of which, I'm still obsessed with the idea of this the Sam Hess chick from Portland, Oregon. Oregon, I believe, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the professional, snuggler, right?
Yeah,
snuggler, okay.
What'd you say,
well,
like
there's
60
been
bucks or something?
60 bucks an hour, to snuggle, you know, and she'll lay there strictly platonic, she claims. Strictly platonic. She'll lay there. She'll cuddle with you. She'll spoon with you. She'll rub your head and everything. But, you know, and this, she's an attractive, I've seen pictures of her. She's an attractive gal and all that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, who is going to be so desperate to pay that kind of money? And then there was some updated articles regarding her. And here's something I found very interesting. Let's see. She says, she makes it clear that her services are completely platonic. She says, I'm not sexually attracted to my clients, and even if I were, I don't allow myself to go there, she explains. I'm in a totally different headspace during a session, and I'm very specific about body parts that cannot be touched. For $60 an hour, I must reiterate, if I'm going to cuddle and I'm going to spoon for $60 an hour, I better have a happy fucking ending.
Damn right.
You know? But anyhow, she says if a client pushes his or her boundaries, she gets a verbal warning, I guess. She gets a verbal warning. Like, what's she going to say? No, I'm not going to touch you there. And no, don't rub against my ass with your penis, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't get it. I'm so intrigued by this, that someone can make this kind of money just snuggling. Anyhow, and then she goes on to say that, you know, she carries this some sort of, like, pocket-sized sharp stick, a coupeton? I don't know. It's some sort of, like, is that some sort of, like, martial arts-like weapon? I guess a coupeton, a pocket-sized sharp stick, just in case.
Jeez.
And she goes on to quote, no one has ever violated the rules because of my strict vetting process, she insists, okay? Vetting process.
God.
Okay, so this is, you know,
vetting.
Goes to some, neutral area and talks to these people first before snuggling with them, you know, like a Starbucks or something, I suppose, you know? This is... No one has ever violated the rules because of my strict vetting process. My youngest client is 24 years old, and my oldest is in his mid-60s. She says, I see single dads, widows, depressed people, even one woman. It is my goal. I'm going to try to get this woman on our show so we can interview her and talk to her about this. Because I just find it fascinating, you know, that someone can do this, be a professional, quote-unquote professional cuddler for $60 an hour. I mean, that's
like you said, she has a whole vetting process. I mean, that's,
right.
I want to hear about this, you know.
Yeah, well, I do too. So that remains to be seen. We will try to make that happen. And, what else is going on here? Oh, boy. Besides professional cuddlers, I would say... What's going on in the whole sci-fi industry there? I understand you have a sort of Doctor Who obsession.
Yes. I may not even sleep tonight. Tomorrow is the 50th anniversary episode of Doctor Who.
50th, huh?
50 years since 1963.
Wow.
First episode aired the day after JFK got shot.
Wow. All right, so how long have you been into this whole Doctor Who?
Actually, I just picked it up this past year on Netflix. I'm normally a Star Trek guy.
Oh, really? Okay. So, all right. So, what got you into this Doctor Who all of a sudden? What do you like about English sci-fi?
You know what? At first, I couldn't understand what the fuck they were saying for the first few episodes. I'm like, what the fuck? They speak a totally different language over there, man. You know, I mean,
it's English. It's not American. It's English.
Yes, it is. It's totally. But I don't know. The show is just, it's grabbed me by the goose, and I've been obsessed with it ever since.
And so, all right. And I understand you have, this huge collection now of Doctor Who.
Christmas was good to me, early Christmas.
Oh, okay, well, who do you think would, I know there's, a billion different Doctor Who. Who do you think would win in an arm wrestling match between William Shatner, a.k.a. Captain Kirk, and English Doctor Who?
Well, it would depend. I don't know. Shatner's pretty fucking tough. You have to give it to Shatner. I mean, any guy who can do those Priceline commercials and still take himself seriously is one tough motherfucker.
No fucking doubt. I have to concur, yeah. I don't think there's many guys that could take William Shatner in an arm wrestling match.
He's got a new singing album out too. He keeps putting out these music albums. I don't know.
Shatner's still doing that?
Yeah.
One of them
recently. He's singing fucking Iron Man from Black Sabbath on one of them. That's fucking guy looks and sounds like he's going to have a stroke while doing it.
Right. But he used to do that, years ago. He kind of did that whole, beatniks, sound. Hey, man. And I kind of dig it, actually. He's really
he's
good at it. Yeah.
The cool one is Leonard Nimoy, Spock. If you go to his website, he takes photographs of, fat, naked chicks now.
Okay, that's odd.
It's funny. I don't know. He's got some book out with and if I say fat, I mean they're 400 pounds, man. They're porkers. I'm not talking about chunky bras. I'm talking fat.
That's crazy. One last thing I find very fascinating is there's this woman who calls herself Star. Have you heard about her? She claims she's 25 years old. She claims she's getting married to Charles Manson. You know, Charles Manson.
I didn't know her name. Yeah, I saw that.
Maybe we can try to get her on the show at some point and interview her. I don't know. But, here she is. She claims, I'm going to get married to Charles Manson, who is, 79 years old? You know. I've seen pictures and stuff online of her, with him, I guess. They're allowing him, this guy, this psycho mastermind serial killer guy, conjugal visits or something? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, why?
Yeah, I don't understand that either, man. I've seen specials and like people can visit this guy. People move like right around the prison just to be by him. And
I know, and I think I find that creepy. I mean,
it is a bit off. But I would think if you're in prison, that's it. You're fucked. It's over. Done. You know, people can't go and visit you. You can't. You shouldn't have those rights.
Right. It's almost like he's like a celebrity or whatnot or whatever. You know, you see his face plastered on T-shirts and shit, and people, you know, that always shocks me. I walk through the local mall and I see some young naive teenager walking around with a Charles Manson T-shirt. You know, and it's like, really? What the fuck? You know. And then you got this 25-year-old girl who's obsessed with him for whatever reason. I guess she watched a couple of documentaries and thought, this guy's just, he's so spiritual. I don't know. It just blows my mind.
I don't know. At one time, I was going to, my tattoo artist was going to give me a Charles Manson tattoo, but it's probably something that never happened. So we settled on the Unabomber instead.
Okay. Well, you know what? I could tolerate the Unabomber before I could tolerate a Charles Manson tattoo. You know what I mean?
Well, what it was going to be is, you know, when I was 13, I first met my father. He was wearing a shirt that had a picture of Charles Manson on it, wearing with a crown of thorns, and it said Charlie Christ. And I guess some band he likes, some band. So I always thought that was a cool image, and I was going to get that tattoo, but reason kicked in, I think. So.
All right, man. Well, you know what? I'm going to play another tune from You Heard Me Now, and then we're going to bring on our first featured guest here, K-Dos. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, K-Dos, man. I'm digging this stuff, and we'll be right back. Here we go. A little bit of K-Dos.
Dope. You heard me now, man. Woke up this morning, said I'm on a fucking mission.
Let's get it.
Go get this money, stop thinking about these bitches. Said these bitches ain't shit, but some hoes and some tricks. Only thing they good for is sucking skin off my dick. Bitch, I'm trying to get this
money,
and you in the way.
Move.
You could get the D, but not every day.
Nah.
Cause I'm in these streets, busy getting cake, and I'm trying to eat, so I gotta get paid. So I'm telling this shit. All of you niggas be telling this shit. Niggas know me, man, I be on the loud. When I come around, you smelling this shit. Rolling the blunts, I keep it a buck. Niggas know me and I don't ever front. I'm the nigga who bitches is on. You niggas is pussy and I'm just a dog. Everybody know that I get it in. Like DJ Khaled, all I do is win. I live a life and it's full of sin, but I am surrounded by the Benjamins. That's all it's about. Talking that shit and I'm taking you out. I'm fucking your bitch and I'm scraping her mouth. But y'all gonna kiss when she get in the house. I'm cashing, bitch, you know I'm cashing. I be with the rapping and you be with the rapping. With my nigga Q Bizzle, you know he be clapping. Got these niggas looking out they window like what happened?
What happened?
What happened? This nigga wasn't acting right. Caught him slipping late night, ain't hesitate to clap him twice. I be getting money, so I'm flying in a satellite. All my niggas crazy, but cause we about to savage life.
Bitch, I'm busting shit, that's word of rich.
That's word of rich.
I been on my shit, I know they pissed.
I know they pissed.
Had a flame on some nigga whole strip. The difference between us and them, they missing our hit.
They missing our hit.
I'm riding up black with the strap like I'm catching a lick.
I'm catching a lick.
I'm rubbing my plug and I'm back in the hood with them bricks. And if I got beef with you, nigga, I put it like this.
I put it like this.
Just take my advice, motherfucker, don't be in the mix. Cause shit on lock. When I'm from that block, with the Texas cops walking through them locks. Cause shit get hot, and they on the watch. But Larry Bird is what I call my Glock. Ask me why I call it that. 33 shots, 33 shots, nigga. Believe me, we next. And no DJ Khaled, bitch, we is the best. Smoke you like a Philly, your Iverson, nigga, put three to your chest. I come and see you, and no talking on Twitter, ain't sending no threats.
Nah,
I'm busting the top, but fuckin' with us is like Russian roulette, nigga.
Woke up this morning, said I'm on a fucking mission.
I been on my shit, I know they pissed.
Go get this money, stop thinking about these bitches.
The difference between us and them, they missing our hits.
Yeah, And we're back. We're going to bring on our featured guest here for the night, K-Dose. That was from his album, or mixtape, his sixth mixtape, I do believe. You heard me now. All right. K-Dose, am I pronouncing that right, buddy? Are you there?
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you perfectly fine, man. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for hanging on with us here.
Okay.
You're from, Connecticut? Bridgeport, Connecticut?
Yeah, Bridgeport.
You're from there. Did you grow up in Bridgeport?
Yeah, born and raised.
Really? Wow. Okay, because you don't hear of a lot of, hip-hop or rap or anything like that coming out of that area, out of, New England area.
Yeah,
I know.
They really got popping out here.
Yeah, I know. When you think hip hop or rap or anything like that, you think West Coast. You think Compton, L.A. or New York and all that shit. But that's intriguing right there to me, man. Tell us all about this latest mixtape you got going on here. I have to say, Call of Duty is my personal favorite.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite joints too.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. So, you heard me now. That's like the sixth mixtape I dropped. Like, the first five mixtapes I dropped, it was called School Days. Like, I was selling them in my school, so feel me? The whole theme was School Days because I was in school selling the mixtapes and all that. But feel me? You heard me now? Like, it's a project I worked on in the summertime. And you heard me now? That's like slang in Bridgeport. That's something that everybody say, like, you heard me now. So feel me? I took it and ran with it, turned it into a mixtape.
Wow, really? All right, how long have you been into that? I mean, what got you initially into, wanting to be, a rap artist or whatnot? And what are some of your early inspirations?
Well, for me, like, I used to just chill with my boys. Like, my boys used to chill. We used to smoke and shit. My boy had a studio in his basement. Like, so for me, like, they used to always rap. I ain't never used to rap, like, serious like them, but they used to make songs and all that. So I went over there. They was making the song, and I just freestyled on it. Feel me? I was just playing around, but I heard myself after they played it back, and I thought it sounded hot. I never heard myself on wax before. So feel me? That's how I started getting the feel for it. That's when I started making music.
Really? As far as, like, that's cool that you got inspired by, hanging out with your boys and all that, and smoking and all that. Man, I get that. That's cool. But, are there, like, as far as musicians, are there any personal, like, musicians or whatnot that have inspired you or whatnot even before that? I mean, everyone likes music. I mean, is there any, like, particular musician or artist that has inspired you creatively, like, as far as your work?
One of the artists that inspired me a lot was Wiz. Like, Wiz Khalifa, that was definitely one of the artists that inspired me a lot. Another one was J. Cole, Soulja. Basically, my two main inspirations in music. Right?
I think personally, I remember growing up, and some of my favorite. I'm old. I'm an old man. I'm probably twice your age. But I have to tell you, there was some like hardcore kind of like gangster rap. It was what they used to call it back in the day.
Yeah.
N.W.A., Ghetto Boys, Ice-T, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I used to have cassette tapes, and I'd blare that stuff every morning when I was getting ready for school. Drove my parents crazy, and it was so different and groundbreaking at the time. You know what I mean? So I mean, and Eazy-E, oh my gosh, Eazy, because he was part of N.W.A. and everything. Oh yeah, I mean these artists. I mean that was the music I grew up with. That's the music that you didn't hear it on mainstream radio or anything like that, you had to go buy the cassettes and all that and listen to it. And so, I have a very, I have this affinity for, hardcore rap like that and everything. And I sense that in your music and all that too, that sort of hardcore sound to it and everything. So that's why I kind of relate N.W.A., Eazy-E, and all them with your style. So, I guess what you've been, this is your sixth mixtape. I mean, and you've been selling, how do you market yourself? I mean, what's the big, I heard you been selling, what, copies for like a dollar a piece or something on the street? What's that all like?
Yeah, like in high school, like my first mixtape, I dropped it on the last day of school, like my sophomore year. So for me, the end of my sophomore year, I just made like 12 songs and I put them on a CD and I just passed them out to everybody so they could hear. So for me, on the last day of school, I passed them out later on that day. Like I was on Facebook and everybody was just telling me that it was beastie. Everybody was liking it. So for me, I started getting a lot of feedback. That's when I started taking it more serious, to putting out more music. And then when I came back to school, the following, like after that summer vacation, came back to school with a new mixtape, and I was selling that one for a dollar, and everybody was copping that because I had a track on there from a boy that had passed in the summer. So that's when I really got a lot of fans. Like that's when everybody really started realizing how powerful the music was.
Yeah, and you know, it's so hard for, you know, musicians, artists, or of any type to, you know, promote themselves, you know, without, you know what I mean, you know, and try to get recognized. So have you, I mean, what's the, I mean, okay, so you're doing these mixtapes, so you, obviously you're collaborating with, you know, a DJ or whatnot and everything. I mean, what's that process like for you as far as collaborating?
Well,
I mean,
for me, like with my music, the thing is, like, I didn't even, like, get no help from nobody else. Anything that I put out so far is within, like, within my people's, like, we did this on our own. Like, making my first mixtapes, getting all the money, like, I hustled my bread up to get a mic, and I just started recording everything on my own, for me, in my basement, in my room, whatever. Like. So, for me, it's not like I didn't have no DJ or anything. Like, it was just me.
Really?
And my people, like, just me and my team, so we just putting out for each other.
Really? Okay. Wow. Okay, man. See, I find that fascinating too. I mean, the whole creative process and, you know, the assembling of a song, a film, or anything, or a book, you know, I find very fascinating. And because it does. I mean, it's a creative. I mean, it's a collaborative process. You know what I mean? And you have to, you know, be in sync with the people you're working with. So that's gone smooth for you. I mean, how do you? I mean, how does it work for you? Like, okay, do you come up with the lyrics first, or do you find a beat? I mean, how does that work?
Most of the time, like, I'll just have beats, like, and if it's a beat I'm like, I'll just start writing a song to it off rip. Like, if I like the beat, I'm going to make a song to it. So I'm just not going to waste the beat. If you let a beat sit, you're going to waste it. So like, anytime I hear a beat I like, I just think of something.
Really?
Some music to it, or I save it for later. From what I know, I'm gonna feel so like right into it.
So you hear the beats in your head before you actually come up with the lyrics? That I find that even more fascinating.
Really? Yeah, I listen to the beats and then tell me whatever comes to mind.
And do you just sit there with like a pad of paper and a pen and just start writing the lyrics or whatever? Or I mean, how's that whole brainstorming process?
Sometimes I have some paper, like sometimes I might be on the bus, it's on my phone, sometimes I might be in my room, sometimes I might be at school, it don't matter.
You just roll with it, and have you ever just rolled with it and just freestyled, I mean, while recording a song?
I do that sometimes in the studio, but like most of the music I put out, I write, so like, I can practice everything I say before I actually go in the studio and do it, because I like going in the studio. Making perfect songs. I don't like messing up and doing things over and all that.
Right. So being in the studio, what's that like for you? I mean, is it intimidating at all? Do you get nervous?
Nah, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's
fun?
I have fun in the studio because, for me, I know exactly what I'm trying to do, and then when I hear it, for me, I'm satisfied because I already know how everything's going to sound because I practiced on my song before I recorded it.
Have you ever performed live?
Yeah, I performed live a couple of times. I didn't do too many shows, but I did a couple of shows. I won a couple of talent shows. I performed at my school in front of everybody, performed at pep rallies and all that, like simple stuff, local.
And what was that like for you? Performing live in front of an audience is different than being in a studio. I mean, what was that like for you? I mean,
well, like, I don't know. It's kind of
did
fun.
You get nervous? I mean,
that's a lot of fun, too, man. Like, I was nervous before I did it, but when you do it, then you see everybody, the crowd interacting with you, everybody clapping. When you see people's reactions to your bars, like, it's crazy.
Right. So you just kind of fed off the audience reaction and all that, kind of got one of those, you know, kind of like a natural high from it?
Yeah, especially for me, in a couple of shows before I even start rapping, as soon as they see me get the mic, everybody just start clapping and all that. So feel me, it's love.
Right. So do you have any future plans here coming up as far as, like,
well,
any concerts or anything like that, or live performances?
I just want to keep working right now. I don't know what's in the future, but all I know is that hard work is going to pay off. I'm going to just keep working.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And, okay, so you don't have any, like, future, like, tour dates or anything like that, or?
Oh, I'm missing the process, but
it's in the
as of right now, I'm not much set up right now, but it's definitely in the process.
All right. So how do, okay, well, another question I have for you as far as, like, promoting your music and all that and everything, have you found social networking, such as, you know, sites such as Facebook or, you know, Twitter and all this and that and all this other online technology, you know, a key way to promote yourself and to spread the word? I mean, this is something that, you know, generations before didn't have at their fingertips. And have you, I mean, has that worked a lot for you?
Yeah, it works. There's a lot of good things about it, but there's also bad things about it, too, because when everybody has the freedom to do whatever they want, there's a lot of people that just do it just because they feel like it. Sometimes, like, you hear a lot of bad music, and then some people just make it worse for everybody else because they put up bad music, and they want to listen to your music because they just see everybody else's music and it's bad, and they just messing it up for everybody.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Definitely, yeah. That happens. That happens in, I mean, you know, not just in, you know, the music industry or, you know, the music realm. It happens in writing and cartooning and photography. I mean, that's the negative side of, you know, the whole online thing is, you know, the oversaturation, I should say, I guess, of, you know, everything. And then people get jaded and like, you know. Yeah, but, you know, so what do you think has made you stick out and garner this audience that you have for this, especially for this latest album, You Heard Me Now?
Oh, well, feel me, like, I put in a lot of work. Feel me, like, when I'm dropping something, it's something that everybody already knows. Like, when I tell people I'm dropping another mixtape, they always surprised. They're like, another one? Because I always do this thing. I always make music. It's the only thing I do.
Right. Cool, man. All right, well, how about we'll play another one of your songs here, and we'll come back and talk about a little bit more here. We say, okay, we're going to do the, here, if you don't mind, spazzing.
Yeah.
We'll do a little bit of spazzing. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
Let's get it.
PNF 300. Cheers. You heard me now.
Okay, dope. You heard me now.
Me now.
Huh?
Damn, this shit is hot.
Real niggas since day one, I ain't never been on no fake shit.
Huh?
Niggas claim that they down to ride, and the end they be on that snake shit. Can't trust niggas, can't trust hoes, never love hoes, just lust hoes.
Huh?
All these bitches, they love those, man, I swear I got too much hoes.
Kid.
Word of me, these bitches love me, man, I bet money that your sister love me. Can't call me broke, can't call me bummy, I'm a fly dude, I be getting money.
True.
Hustling through the daytime, till the nighttime, till it's getting sunny.
Damn.
Bundle on me, cause I'm meeting homie, and I wish a nigga come and take it from
what?
Me. Should've get real, like, real quick. Ain't nothing for a boy to get dealt with. I'll call my hitters, tell them kill shit. And I ain't lying, nigga, that's real shit.
friends. My head is with that. Got a couple niggas with a big gas. My nigga got a llama named Get Back. So when the shit clap, you get back.
Boom.
You should see how that shit kick back. I'm about to get a zip and just flip that.
Huh?
Bitches love me cause I got big stacks. And they love my raps and how I spit crack.
Kid.
I be in a trap so I spit trap.
Kid.
I be in the bed where your bitch at.
Kid.
She ride my dick and she lick that. Put it on the tongue like a Tic Tac. I'm crazy, my nigga. This sip of the crew got me wavy, my nigga. You better than me. Stop playing, my nigga. I'm nice with the shit I be saying, my nigga.
Yeah.
Dudes talk, but I really do it. Think you this nice, then you really stupid. Cop loud, and I really moving. Now my pocket's fat, bitch. I'm really
booming.
Yeah, I'm winning, and these niggas losing. I'm the nigga that the bitches shooting.
Huh?
I got shooters, I ain't with the shooting. If I want them dead, then my nigga shooting.
Boom.
I'm surrounded by some real killers, real drug dealers, real thug niggas.
Yeah.
Out the crew, I'm just a young nigga that got all these hoes in love with
yeah.
it. Cause I'm real with this rap shit, and I keep it real. I ain't got a choice.
Huh?
I'ma make it in this rap shit, cause I grind hard and I got the boots. Got the fans and I got the bars. Got my own lane, I ain't talking cars. But in 5 years, I'ma have five in my own crib, fucking superstar. Model bras and them rich bitches,
huh?
Cause them bitches like rich niggas.
Huh?
You ain't tryna go and get that money, then you ain't never been in my clique, nigga. Hustle hard cause I need guap, can't stop and I won't stop. I'm an addict when I'm getting cabbage, man, I swear I'm nice and these niggas gabbage. Think they hot, but they really ass. Take them out like the fucking trash. PNF, we be getting cash. Why you think all these niggas mad? Bad bitches, they getting bad. Can't reject me cause she let us swag. Sippin' yak and I'm smoking gas. 20 blunts put me on my ass. I be geek like every day and I'm always sippin' on the Remy straight. Every day I gotta celebrate cause I'm still living, getting hella cake. Bitch, I grind like a white boy when he doing tricks on the skateboard.
Huh?
Niggas got taste, but I made more. If we both selling, I'ma make more. Real talk and I'm still going. Yo, bitch, show me she's still blowing. Niggas wanna beef, they better chill cause shit gon' get too real for them.
Huh?
Cheer. That's great. So hey, I have to ask you, how did you come up with the whole the nickname K-Dose? Am I pronouncing that right? K-Dose. Yeah, K-Dose. How'd you come up with that? I mean, I'm always interested in how people come up with these monikers and these nicknames and or whatnot. I mean, what inspired that, and how did that come about?
Well, the first time I told you about, like, when I went to my friend's studio, his basement, right,
mm-hmm.
and I recorded that freestyle, like, so they were going to put the song out, so they, like, you know, like, what's your rap name? Like, I'm like, I don't know, tell me. So they, like, so we named it K2, like, my name was K2 from the jump, like, so that's what we named it, like, K2.
Uh-huh.
That's what my name was,
K2. Oh, K-Dose, I get it. Oh, okay,
so
K2 and K-Dose, oh, clever, I get that, okay.
My first two mixtapes, I was K2, like, and then,
uh-huh.
like, after my second mixtape, I changed my name to K-Dose, like, and I made a song, like, talking, like, call me K-Dose, like, and after that, if my name was K-Dose, like, I just switched it. And now I tell everybody call me K-Dose.
Yeah. So have you ever thought of, or have you attempted, or has anyone approached you about making a music video? Because,
I got two music videos right now on YouTube.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I just got two videos this month. They just came
out. How can we find those? What would people, you know, who are listening or whatnot, look that up? How would we find those videos on YouTube?
Go on YouTube and type in K-Dose Spazzer, and
uh-huh.
you can type in K-Dose Cause I Want To, featuring King Leo.
Really? Man, okay. Excellent. And okay, so what was that process like for you, like making a music video?
It was real fun, feel me? But, like, as I told you before, too, I told you that, like, it's just me and my team, like, feel me? So,
right.
Like, hustling with the mixtapes, like, I got money up, we bought a camera, and now we just shooting videos, like, we got our own camera. So now we just doing videos as we please.
Excellent, man. All right.
So you're out there in Connecticut, you had mentioned, you know. What kind of scene is out there in Connecticut? I mean, is there a big scene, you know, out there?
Like, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Oh, I said you're out there in Connecticut, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, normally you hear, you know, New York or California. Is there a big scene out there in Connecticut? Is there a lot of rap?
Yeah, there's a lot of people out here that rap. Like, there's a couple of talent out here. There's a lot of people that's nice out here.
So it's not hard to get, you know, you don't suffer from not being in New York or something. You're able to find an audience and get your name out there?
Well, yeah, like, it's not an audience something crazy, but, like, feel me, like, it's my city, like, so anybody in my city know who I am, like, because I'll be rapping, like, so it's like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's like, it's good for me right now, like, I'm definitely trying to expand, but this
right.
is my whole plan, like, for me to get my area smashed before I could go anywhere else, like, because I need somebody on my back.
Right. So I got to ask, I mean, you know, I mean, pretty much, I mean, the majority of the songs on your latest mixtape, You Heard Me Now, you know, it's not something, it's far from mainstream. It's not something you would hear on the radio or anything like that. Do you have any aspirations to try to, you know, get a little more mainstream and get more publicity in that way and do something, I guess, I don't know, that's not as
yeah.
R-rated or whatnot? That would might you know
yeah,
get
definitely.
Airplay. I mean, because I'm not asking you, you know, hey, are you going to be a sellout? I mean, because we all have our art and we have our own vision, but at the same time, you know, everybody I think aspires to kind of move forward and get that attention and move forward and you know make a living doing this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely. But for me, the music I got right now, like anything that you probably heard, anything is for the streets right now. So yeah, I gotta do something for the streets, but I'm definitely gonna be making music. That's for everybody. It's gonna be mainstream.
Right.
I'm just telling you, I'm tapping all different areas right now.
Cool. So, okay, if you were try to, you know, say make something that was a little more, I guess, tame or mainstream, do you have any ideas on how you would do that, or would it just I mean, hurt
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I can make all types of music. Like, I definitely
uh-huh.
could make mainstream music. I can make all types of music. Like, I got
right.
songs for girls. I got songs for hood shit. I got songs for chilling. I got songs for everything. I'm versatile in my music.
Uh-huh. Well, excellent. Because, I'm one of the same type of people who I have a personal vision of my art and all that. Be it poetry and or comic strips or whatnot, and I have this personal adversity to, you know, altering my style too much to be more mainstream. It just is like, I can't, you know, just, you know, it kind of bothers me. So, but I know that some people, you know, that they can make that transition, you know what I mean, and just do something, and then boom, they get lucky. And it's like, oh wow, look, I'm getting radio play, or I'm getting, you know, in all these, like, mainstream magazines or something like that, and it's like, ooh, you know, that's tough, but, yeah, man, I, you know, like I said, I'm, when it comes to, you know, rap music and everything, I'm old school. I mean, I'm, you know, N.W.A., Eazy-E, Ice-T, Ghetto Boys, you know, and so that's why, you know, your sound appeals to me. But like I said, you know, it's going to be hard to find, you know, like a mainstream, like radio or anything like that for that. Because that stuff wasn't even mainstream radio either. I had to buy or bootleg cassettes of that stuff back then. That was back in the late 80s, early 90s. It's like, so. But yeah, I like your sound, man. I like what you have going on. And, you know, you need to keep
it.
Yeah, you need to keep in touch and keep the magic going, man. So any future plans? Do you have an idea or a concept for mixtape number 7?
Yeah, I definitely got a mixtape that's real close to dropping. It's called Tape
Really?
Oil.
All right. Wow, that's prolific, man. How do you find the time to do that?
Well,
wow.
For me, like, I got in the studio the other day, and I ended up making, like, 7 tracks, and I was playing a track back. I was like, I'm about to just make it a mixtape.
Really? 7 tracks in one day?
Yeah.
How many hours?
It was about, like, like 2.5 hours.
Are you serious?
Whoa. Yeah,
whoa.
Seven tracks, like 2.5 hours.
How
went
in
there
the
like
hell?
At 11.
Okay.
Went there at 11, left like 1:30.
That's amazing. Wow. Wow. Man. All right. Well, you know what? I guess we're going to play one more song and of yours, Bad Bitch, which, you know, a little bit of Bad Bitch, and then we'll wrap it up, buddy, all right? Sound cool? All
right.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Let's get it.
Here we go.
Huh? Chair. Call me K-Dose. Man, shorty bad, so I had to have her. She got a man, but I had a bagger. And she like a nigga with his cash up. A nigga like me be having mad bucks. Throw your hands up if you a bad bitch. I'm run your bands up if you a bad bitch. I'm only tryna fuck if you a bad bitch. You need to hit me up if you a bad bitch. Throw your hands up if you a bad bitch. Throw your bands up if you a bad bitch. I'm only tryna fuck if you a bad bitch. You need to hit me up if you a bad bitch. I just got a text from a bad bitch. She told me come through, I'ma smash it. She gon' give me neck, I ain't asking. Head and the best, she be spazzing. And then I be out, I'm back to the track. These hoes on my dick, cause they love how I rap. I'm getting it in, you know that's a fact. My niggas got traps, don't know how to act. I'm all on your bitch, her titty so big, her booty so fat. Fucking her, I'm doing that. Cuffing her, you doing that. Fuck her and then I'll be out. You fuck her, then you go to bed. You kissing that bitch on her mouth. But that would be giving me head. But shorty bad, so I had to have her. She got a man, but I had a bag. And she like a nigga with his cash up. A nigga like me, we have mad bucks. Throw your hands up if you a bad bitch. I'm throwing your bands up if you a bad bitch. I'm only tryna fuck if you a bad bitch. You need to hit me up if you a bad bitch. Throw your hands up if you a bad bitch. Throw your bands up if you a bad bitch. I'm only tryna fuck if you a bad bitch. You need to turn me up if you a bad bitch. I need a bad bitch to hop on the dick. Bust the shit open and then do a split. Get on the knees and play with my nuts. I'll suck on my dick and then swallow my kids. I love me some pussy, I always be fucking. I stay catching me a new body. My bitches, they never look sloppy. Big booty like Buffy the Body. Beat the shit up, she calling me daddy. Fucking the crib and fucking her wig. Oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. That's what I say when she suck on my dick. When I get behind, she be loving that shit. Loving the way that I fuck her. I'm busting my nuts and I'm on to the neck. Cause I get pussy like Ryan Pumper. Bitches on bitches on bitches on bitches on bitches, you know that I got em. Like pimples, I pop em. They love me, cause I'm poppin'. We just fuck, I don't take em shopping. The niggas be trickin', they wildin'. Damn, I love me some bad bitches. I swear that is my fucking problem. The shorty bad, so I had a tab. She got a man, but I had a bag. And she like a nigga with his cash up. A nigga like me be having mad bucks. Throw your hands up if you a bad bitch. I'm throwing your bands up if you a bad bitch. I'm only tryna fuck if you a bad bitch. You need to hit me up if you a bad bitch. Throw your hands up if you a bad bitch. Throw your bands up if you a bad bitch. I'm only tryna fuck if you a bad bitch. You need to hit me up if you a bad bitch.
That was a little bit of Bad Bitch there from our featured guest here for the first hour, K-Dose, from his sixth mixtape, You Heard Me Now. Yeah, it was a lot of fun having him on and talking to him and getting the input there about what he has going on. So, anyhow, Mr. Gasinski.
Yes.
Yes, yes. The Doctor Who nerd. Yes, yes.
You know, speaking of hip-hop, I read something the other day. The most sampled musician in rap music, the most sampled, is Billy Squier.
You got to be shitting me. Billy, what?
No, there was an
Billy
article.
Billy Squier,
Yahoo News.
So?
Billy Squier, his music has been used more in rap music than any other musician.
Really?
It blew my mind, too. I couldn't even tell you what
the fuck
Billy Squier is.
How? I mean, how? In what way? Do you know? I mean, can you confirm this? Can you do a few tunes, like hum them?
No, I'm trying to think. But they're saying that Jay-Z, like Rick Rubin and Jay-Z, love to use like Billy Squier's music. And
really?
I don't know. I was thinking to myself, I was thinking, what the fuck does that guy even sing?
Wow.
Yeah.
I never would have guessed that. I mean, you know, the only one, the most famous, I think, sample that I can think of is ding 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 under pressure. Ding ding ding.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then becomes dun 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 ice baby, you know? As far as samples go, I mean that seems to be the most popular one. My kids. 7-year-old and a 4-year-old they're fanatical about that song, Ice Ice Baby. We play it for them, you know, using the iPhone or whatever. They freaking love it. You know, it's like one of those just fun, like kind of ageless, I guess, songs that appeals
to
people of all ages.
You guys watch the you watch the Vanilla Ice show? You know, what is it? Vanilla Ice goes Amish,
flipping houses and shit now or something.
Yeah. He's got an Amish show, too. You know, he's cashing in on that.
Oh, no,
market.
I wasn't aware. An Amish show?
Yeah.
Got to be shitting me.
Yeah, it's Amish. He goes, Vanilla Ice goes Amish. It's on the Do-It-Yourself Network. I don't know what it has to do with Do-It-Yourself.
Do-It-Yourself Network, huh?
And it's Amish in Ohio, actually, so I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
Ohio.
But they don't call him Vanilla, or they don't call him Ice. They call him, I think his real name is, what is it, like Rob or something? I think it's Rob.
Yeah, it's Rob. Look at me, I'm pretty, and I make these funny shows now all about flipping houses and hanging out with Amish people. That's his name.
Yeah, that's
cool. Isn't it like Rip Van Thorpe or Rip Van Winkle? Rip Van Winkle?
Yeah, Rob Van Winkle. You're right.
Right. That even sounds fishy to me.
Yeah.
Van Winkle, yeah, okay. Or then just go, you know, sleep for 100 years underneath a tree or something. But but yeah, it's weird to see, you know. And I remember watching him on, what was that reality show where they throw a bunch of people into a house? Oh, shoot. I'm talking about Vanilla Ice. He was on one of those reality shows. I don't know. They threw a whole bunch of people in a house. He was in there, and I think there's like Flava Flav and a bunch of other people in there.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, what was it called? I remember Flava Flav with his clock.
His clock, yeah. And Bridget Nielsen, they ended up having like an affair or falling in love with each other or something. Remember, Bridget Nielsen used to be like this hot shit who was dating Sylvester Stallone. You know, she was in that Rocky IV.
Yeah.
I will break you. She pretended to be the big, mean Russian woman. And
she wound up tore back, bombing on Flava Flav.
Yeah.
So. Crazy how that works sometimes.
It is. All right. We will let's do a little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon here.
Oh, yeah.
So, the Puff the Magic Dragon. You know, because for one, I have to tinkle. And for two, you know, every time I hear that song, it feels like it's a metaphor kind of for, you know, getting high and all that. And our next guest is, coming up here, William Seward Bonney. And
contact buzz over the phone. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He lives in, Denver, Colorado there, and they got a big show coming up, which is going to be really exciting to hear about. Yeah, like 6 poets and 4 bands, and that's going to be something else, man. And I guess this will be their second one, and Yeah, and then that'll be exciting. All right, we're going to do a little Pup the Magic Dragon. Well, we take a pee break here. And then we're going to bring on William Seward Bonney and let him enlighten us in his unique way, as only William Seward Bonney can. All right, we'll be right back. A little Pup the Magic Dragon, ladies and gentlemen.
The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pup and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Pup, the magic dragon.
I'm getting a puppy while I pee. Oh no, it's bored to pee with an erection.
And frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
It burns.
Pup the magic dragon.
Pup my magic dragon. If only I could pup my own magic dragon.
And frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Pup's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whenever they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Pup roared out his name. Oh, Pup the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Pup the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Pup that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Pup no longer went to play along the cherry lane without his lifelong.
I'm not sure exactly what they call that land. What do they call that land?
The land of Kim Jong Il. What?
I don't get that part either. But you know, maybe our next featured guest.
Honolulu,
yeah, Harmony, or maybe they're trying to say Harmony, and they're too bucked up and high. But maybe our next featured guest, William Seward Bonney, who's going to tell us all about Tiny Ant Records versus Literary Underground of Colorado 2, which is going to be happening here on December 7th, 2013. Pearl Harbor Day. Wow, talk about a sneak attack. All right, let's sneak attack our next featured guest and bring him on. Mr. William Seward Bonney, are you there, man?
Yes, sir.
What up?
What up?
Welcome, welcome. Welcome once again here. Yeah, you got another one of these big shows coming up, huh? The next Tiny Amp Records versus Literary Underground. Coming up on December 7th, man. Let's hear all about it. I mean, you got, what, four bands and six poets and...
yeah, you know, it's just trying to have some fun in the community. We did this last year. It was after I went down to New Mexico for Happy Fucking Endings. I met you and the rest of the gang. I was asked to throw a show together in like a month and a half. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. And I just decided I might as well just continue to throw this show every
year.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Because I have nothing better to do. So.
Well, okay. You mentioned Happy Fucking Endings. How do you feel about, are you aware of this woman, Sam Hess, who is a professional cuddler for $60 an hour from Oregon?
I've heard of that before.
Yeah, she's 29 years old. I mean, yeah, you know, she's easy on the eye, but would you pay a woman $60 an hour to cuddle and to spoon with if you weren't getting a happy fucking ending?
Not. Absolutely not.
Please elaborate.
I would never pay any human being for any kind of service like that.
Right.
Kind of like, yeah, I don't need to. I'm not, I don't know how else. That's just, that'd be weird. That's not my speed. I don't want to mess around with anything like that.
Right.
Like, I mean, why don't you just develop a drug habit? Like, I feel like that's kind of the same thing. Like, if you're going to, you know, like, do some extreme where you have to pay a human being to touch you,
yeah,
do something else.
I agree.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, I can touch myself
out
for free. Especially with the
you
advent
know, like,
of internet porn, you know?
Yeah, right? I feel worse for those people than the people who, like, huff spray paint. I'd much rather huff spray paint than fucking pay for cuddling. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. See, I find it bogus. And she, I mean, she swears up and down.
Totally bogus.
It's strictly platonic bullshit. Maybe she just, you know, grinds her ass just a little bit up against their crotch, a little bit until they ejaculate or something. I don't know. I find it bogus. But I'm going to try like hell to get her on our show here sometime in the future. If she's heard any of these, then she might not. But I am. It's going to happen if I can help it.
God bless you. God bless
yeah,
you.
God bless America. But, yeah, as you like to say, God bless America. So, yeah, this lineup of poets, man, I mean, I recognize, I mean, you and Dustin Holland, that kid, he's a kid. I mean, he's 18, barely 18?
He's 18.
So.
He's doing his soul searching, driving across
he
America
is.
Thing right now, which is badass.
That
and,
kid.
Jason. Sorry.
I was
going to
say that kid is sharp as hell. I'm telling you. I'm just, yeah.
He's crazy. He's super,
yeah.
He's like a genius. He's like a super
he
genius.
He is. I mean, I've read his work. I've seen his work, and I've seen videos of him reading and all that. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him like live in person, all that. But you know, I've seen his work and heard his work, and it's like, wow. I didn't have my shit together at that age, and to be that smart and everything. That kid, he's talented. Wow, yeah. And then you got, oh, my gosh, what, the Fort Collins Poet Laureate? Oh, we all know him. Jason Hardong coming, huh?
Yep, Mr. Hardong.
Yeah, dude, that's sweet.
The one
Jason
and all. Jason
awesome. Not only
yeah,
is he a great
live, too, are just
yeah,
fucking,
not,
they really command their presence.
Right. Well, not only is Hardong, you know, a great poet, but I'm sure you've seen his painting.
Yeah.
I mean, phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's like a natural talent. He didn't go to school for it or anything. It's just all self-taught. And it's like blows me away every time I see another one of his paintings, you know, live on Facebook and all that he posts. It's like, holy crap. You know?
Yeah.
Mind blowing. But he's a great presence too. He commands the stage. He's great. Yeah. Man.
Yeah, just really both of them are just really just down-to-earth people, too,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of what I'm about is, like, I fucking, I can't stand people with ego. Like, I mean, everybody should have an ego to a certain extent and, you know, be proud of what they do and be...
Well, I think everybody does, but at the same time, yeah.
Exactly, but, yeah, like, but at the same time, like, check your shit at the door, like, where, you know, like, there's no need for, you know, in the world of underground poetry and underground music for those egos to be shining through. So I really like to, you know, work with people of that who are
right.
like that, who are just super down to earth. And some of the other readers, like Randall Chambers, he's like one third or one half of Teeth Dreams, which is a local magazine here.
Mm-hmm.
It's only released one issue so far, but they're about to release their second issue here in the next upcoming months. And they're a really interesting little outfit, really bohemian, really like gritty, grimy poetry shit. And I love that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff, you know, where they get, like, Randall has a lot of, I mean, he was, like, the first person I met whenever I moved here, and we were both into some nefarious activities at that time, so we both like to bring those nefarious activities into our poetry and stuff, and I always appreciate people who aren't afraid to, you know, be themselves and
right.
say what they've done, because it's important.
Well, it is
but,
important. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about, like, you got, an Ariel Roberts?
Yeah, Ariel is a really good friend of mine. She actually went to high school with Randall, and
mm-hmm.
she does, like, a little writing club here that I'm a part of. And she just, you know, these are, like, some really young, you know, we're all in our early 20s
mm-hmm.
besides, you know, Jason. But, you know, he's a young buck, too, but yeah, it's, I just wanted to get some people, I wanted to cultivate this scene out here,
because
there's some really good talent, but, you know, it kind of takes a push or a jump in the right direction to propel yourself to do something a lot of the time, so.
Right.
Hopefully, Brooke, who's our other writer, Brooke and
how do you
Ariel
pronounce that last
Brooke?
Name?
Thice.
Brooke
Thice.
Thice? Okay, Thice, yeah.
I think it's Thice, actually. I don't know. Thice?
Like
names. Thesis? I don't fucking, yeah, I don't, I'm pretty sure it's Thice, but, yeah, they're both just wonderful, wonderful human beings, and that really
uh-huh.
reflects to their writing as well, and Brooke is like she performs as Brooklet. She actually performed at one of our, we had like a little pre-party last year to Tiny Ever's Literary Underground. She performed at that.
So oh,
she's
yeah,
like
wow.
super, super really talented. Like everybody's, and she's on Tiny Amp as well. So it's, you know,
oh, okay.
it's a really big family affair. And that's
Sweet.
Pretty much how we try to do everything.
Yeah, well, you know, I like that you are that involved in your community there and you know, that area and you're trying to promote it, you know, with these shows, these live shows and everything else you do and all that. And then you mentioned Tiny Amp. Okay, that's a great segue. Let's segue right on to Tiny Amp. And you got these four bands coming up that are going to be there. And, you know, how did
yeah.
you get into that, the whole, you know, being affiliated with the bands and all that? And Tiny Amp, I mean, I like how you merge the two, you know, music and literature. So, yeah, I'd like to hear about that, how that came about.
For sure. Well, Tiny Amp is brainchild of my old roommate, Madeline. We lived together last year, but a few years ago we lived together at a dorm here in Denver. And that's when she was really starting her music career, and I was really writing a lot. And we, you know, made music together, and we'd write together and, you know, get drunk and paint together and stuff like that. So it evolved into her and then my current roommate, Hunter. They both kind of had the idea at the same time to start Tiny Amp, which is a cassette-based label. So it's all, every release has tapes, so it all has physical copies, which, you know, kind of
wow.
rare these days. Yeah.
yeah.
People,
extremely rare.
People generally have, like, you know, CDs and MP3s, and we have those
right.
too, but cassette tape is, you know, there's a special breed of people who like cassette tapes and like will follow around and want to have those. And, you know, Hunter and Madeline both use a lot of cassette loops in their music. Hunter, for instance, like reconstructs tapes and builds them into like, you know, loops that could last forever potentially if you, you know, just had a tape player plugged in. So they're both kind of musical geniuses, like not
really
like and it's like a really underground self-taught musical genius, kind of like Hardung. So it's really just badass to be a part of again. Like it's just really humbling to be around artists of that caliber because it helps you create.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, that cassette tape. See, I'm old enough where I remember vinyl, you know, actual records. You mentioned, you know, physical, like cassette tapes, you know. I mean, are you even old enough? Or, I don't even know if you're old enough to remember cassette tapes. Are you old enough to remember cassette tapes?
I mean, yeah, I had the Ninja Turtles cassette tape, you know, like that was where I was at with cassette tapes. Yeah, it was, and, you know, I've got some friends in Austin who run a, like, literary thing called Raw Paw, and they do music stuff, too, and they've been printing vinyl. They actually just released their first vinyl. So it's, yeah, it's like, it's kind of, there's a resurgence, you know, with, because, like, a lot of us kids, 24, 25-year-olds, have, adopted a bunch of vinyls or a bunch of cassettes from our parents or grandparents' collection.
Right, of course, yeah.
Huh. And that really makes you kind of, you know, nostalgic, but want to recreate nostalgic in your own sense. And you see that a lot in the emerging art cultures. There's a lot of, like, people using, like, VHS tapes with HD tapes and just, you know, a lot of different shit. But a lot of familiar shit reassessed. So, I don't know.
Is there any, I mean, okay, you're doing cassette tapes. Is there any chance for 8-track? Do you remember 8-track? I do. You remember 8-track?
Probably not.
Probably not?
Yeah,
8-tracks were horrible, I hate to say it. It would, like, play two or three songs and click to the next program. It, like, had four, like, programs on it and would, like, click. Like, it's like, oh, boy, okay. Yeah. But, yeah,
I've
never
used that.
What's that?
I've never used that before, so
you don't want
I don't think
it.
I've ever seen one. Yeah,
waste
maybe
time.
Betamax. We'll just transfer everything to Betamax.
That's great. So yeah, let's talk about some of these bands. I mean, okay, we got what Architect and the Bipedal Approach, King Kurta, and Nighttime School Bus. Yeah.
Architect is interesting because the other half of Teeth Dreams, Harmony Rose, like, she's pretty much, like, the brain child, or the brain of, you know, like, of the whole Teeth Dreams operation with Randall. She is one of the lead singers of Architect. So, yeah, that's kind of, again, once, like, all in the family, and they're on Tiny Amp, Architect, and the Bipedal Approach are. Nighttime School Bus and King Kurta are just friends of ours. And one of the guys in Architect helped King Kurta record his last CD and master it, all that good stuff. So, yeah, the fun thing about Tiny Amp, too, is a lot of the people on the roster are all, like, audio engineers and recording artists. And recording people. I don't know what you would call that. I guess that is an audio engineer as well. But, like, just someone who, like, has a really good – people who have really good feels for, like, recording bohemian-style, DIY-style in-house setups and ranch setups. Just different kinds of weird places that we can post up and record things because, you know, that's usually the most money that goes into a record company is trying to record things. So to have that kind of on deck is really – really awesome.
So, well, okay, then I have to ask you, as far as Tiny Amp goes, I mean, how is that going for you? I mean, how much are you invested in that as far as, I mean, is that, Are you more invested, like, you know, creatively or financially or a little bit of both? Or, I mean, how's that work, the whole dynamic?
I mean, we're all just best friends. So just kind of, there's no real thought of any of that. It's just kind of create and go on. I don't know. There's, you know, money kind of just goes back into everything that we do. There's never really
any,
like, yeah, and it's never, like, any, like, really absurd amounts of money because, you know, coming from Austin and Texas, like, artists are more, I wouldn't say they're more appreciated, but they're definitely more monetarily appreciated. And there's more of, like, a, like, scene where you're going to get paid. Denver is kind of like a labor of love. Like, there's no real, like, we've had so many friends that have had so many, like, places that we played at that were just, like, little venues that have closed down the past few years just because, you know, that's how the scene is. So that's kind of what we're dealing with and what we live with on a day-to-day basis is more house shows and trying to find bars and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's just always kind of grinding. There's no real time to ever stop and think or do anything.
So, all right.
Yeah.
So, the show coming. Oh, okay. There's also I saw the mention of, and I was intrigued by this, the whole tater tot truck. But I guess they're not going to be in the show anymore. Or what was that all about? What's a tater tot truck? Because it sounded really yummy to me.
No, it was awesome. I worked at a dispensary, and we had a patient who came in who ran a tater tot truck, and I was telling him about the show, and he offered his services. Unfortunately, they didn't make it. It wasn't a viable living option, I guess. Not too many people were too interested in the tater tot truck, which is sad because it was pretty cool, you know? Like, they'd have, like, you get, like, the Italian tater tots, which are, like, had, like, a bunch of marinara sauce on it, mozzarella and parmesan, and then you get, like, bacon-wrapped tater tots, which had, like, queso cheese, you know, just crazy
God,
shit
sounds,
like that.
Man, that's
but,
getting me all
they
hungry.
All, like, sell tater tots? They make a living off tater tots, really?
Well, they couldn't. They tried.
Obviously.
I mean, you know, not to,
track, man, and it's like, shit.
Not to make light of anybody's failure or anything, but, you know, I guess it wasn't the most viable option. So, you know, I've talked to a couple of other, you know, trucks about coming out, but I don't know. We'll just see how that goes. It was just kind of a random thing that happened, and then it just
but
didn't
you get
happen,
me hungry
so.
Just thinking about it. You know, I mean,
you know, this is at a bar with, you know, a very large spirit selection.
Right, there you go. Yeah, you
Crash
you 45. Start to,
they're
you
know, all really cool guys.
Yeah, you start imbibing and you start getting the munchies. Or if you, you know, smoke, you know what I'm saying, you get the munchies.
Oh, yeah.
I think it works both ways, but
oh, yeah, no, we can smoke marijuana here, and we can
see that's another beautiful thing there about the whole, you know, Colorado. My goodness, that's fascinating in itself too. You know, I mean, that's what Colorado and one other state, it's legal. I mean, geez.
Yeah, and Vermont is decriminalized, and then there are you know, there's about 19 or 20 states across the United States that are either decriminalized, legal, or in medical status, or in pending medical status.
Right.
So, you know, there's a good movement across the United States about weed and just how it needs to be legal, not even because, I mean, weed isn't really even illegal because of THC or marijuana. It's just illegal because of hemp and major timber and lumber and paper and all those textile corporations and major gas and stuff, because hemp is just, you know.
Oh, so you think hemp has something to do with it not being legalized, like, nationally, then?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really?
And also,
I've never heard that
to,
before. That's interesting, okay. No, elaborate. I mean, that I find that fascinating.
Well, it's also a good way for major pharma, you know, the pharmaceutical companies to keep their stranglehold on America, and it's also a good way to still imprison our young Mexican and black friends. I mean, if you just take a look at, I mean, even in Denver, there are still people who are arrested for smoking weed, even though it's legal, and they're all Mexican and black. So it's just kind of one of those things where America kind of needs to take a big look in the mirror and be like, oh, this is weird. I don't know. Just kind of at that crossroad where people just need to, you know, bite the bullet and realize that it's not a pretty picture outside. Just got to fucking suck it up and admit to why it's not a pretty picture.
Huh. That's interesting. I mean, okay, so you definitely think it is sort of a corporate / sort of racial thing? I mean, what you've just said, I mean, sounds to me like...
Yeah, I mean, I think America is a pretty much racial / corporate thing. I think that's all it is in its politics, to be completely honest with you. But,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think that's probably also for another show, because I could probably talk all night about that.
Yeah. You know what? We should set it up. Because, you know, I'm fascinated by all this stuff and people's opinions, too, regarding, you know... race and politics and everything else in our country, and, you know, its effect on us, you know, just as, you know, families and people, and, you know, effects on us on just as, you know, as artists and all that. And by artists, you know, I mean, of course, you know, being writers, poets, musicians, promoters, et cetera, or whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, it all trickles down and has a major effect on all of us. It really does. And, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. That's a whole other show. We should set
it
up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just one of the, I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of just, it's fun to be in this city because it is progressive in a lot of ways. There's a lot of talk and thought going on, and, you know, it's a lot of, and there's a lot of, renewal and growth too. A lot of people are learning how to grow their own food, you know, and grow their own weed, which is very important to, you know, the future of this country. So
I like that. So I got to ask you, okay, from your personal experience, comparing weed, like a weed high to like an alcohol high, is there a big difference or...
Absolutely.
No.
I don't really drink alcohol. Drink alcohol once or twice a year.
Okay.
Just because of the effects on my body, you know. If I have a weed hangover, it's pretty badass. If I have a
like
liquor hangover.
What do you mean by badass? Like good in a good way?
I mean, waking up high, like what, you know, there's nothing wrong with waking up high. You wake up, you got the munchies or something.
Right.
Like that's pretty fun. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to wake up and giggle and maybe complain that you're hungry. You know, pretty normal morning stuff. But,
okay, that's,
you know,
great.
Waking up drunk, you know, you got the shits from hell. You've got the cold, damp sweat. You got, you know, the headache.
Yeah.
You're trying to shove food into your body. Sometimes your body can't take it.
I'm only laughing because I know you're right. That's great.
Yeah, no, I know you. Yeah, I mean, we all know this. We've all been there. I mean, there's never been a time where I took too many bong rips and was laying on the, you know, the bathroom floor just sweating, hugging the toilet, like about to die. So
yeah.
You know, I've actually seen that with you guys. They have that stuff called earwax out there.
Oh, man, actually, yeah, I mean,
I've seen some people pretty fucking messed on earwax.
Yeah, I've watched people, whenever I went to the Cannabis Cup last year, I watched an old man just pass out, just like, he took a dab of hash oil and just, like, stood up straight and just, like, boop, went blank as a board and just fell backwards. It wasn't hilarious, but it was hilarious. But, yeah, I actually, Earl Apparel is our sponsor, and Earl is my manager at the dispensary. One of my best friends out here, Josh, he runs it. It's a clean-cut stoner design brand, and Earled is a slang term for hash oil, and it's pretty much, in, you know, back in the day in Kansas and Texas, oil had a, Southerners had a long draw, so you'd hear, like, my grandpa pronounce oil like Earl. He said, oil, Earl. Like, that's, I don't know why, but, so, that's what Earl means, is it's hash oil, and it's just oil and a
I didn't know that.
Long pronounce. Yeah, and just a dab will do you, you know, a dab of hash oil, that's what it's referred to, and that kind of comes from the Wizard of Oz. It's all weird. I don't know.
And that's,
weird
I mean,
culture.
How do you pronounce Earl? I mean, Earled oil, or Earled,
yeah.
I mean.
Earled. Yeah, you
how
got
do you spell it?
E-R-R-L-D. E-R-R-L-D.
Okay. That
yeah.
is the way it's spelled. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
There's
it's,
no,
it's
like.
Yeah, there's no crazy way to spell it.
Huh. Okay. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
I'll
just
was
do
not
a little
aware of that.
Dealer.
I was always wondered, because I've always seen, you know, you talking about or promoting Earled apparel, and I was like, I thought maybe it was like an acronym or something like that for something, but I didn't realize that's an actual word.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, it's a slang term, you know, and and also, I want to give a shout-out because Joshua is doing the graphic design on my next book, which is
Joshua,
coming out.
Joshua who? Let's
Joshua Trujillo, he is the guy who runs Earled Apparel.
Uh-huh.
And, he's doing the graphic design of my next book, which is coming out through Unknown Press, which is Bud Smith Press out in New York.
Oh, Bud Smith. Yeah, he does good stuff.
Yes, He might be out for the show, too, here December 7th. He might make a
really?
Special guest appearance. He was
the
telling
Bud
me
Smith.
That day. The Bud Smith, the one and only author of Toll Booth. Go buy Toll Booth.
Toll Booth, yes.
But,
good book.
Good
Sweet.
Book. But, I don't know. I get confused. I'm really high. It's been a long time.
It's all right. I understand. We expected as much.
Good.
I would have been disappointed if you weren't. I'd be like, man, if this fucker don't call in all high and shit, I'm gonna be disappointed. No, seriously,
yeah,
no.
Seriously,
you know what? We might have to get some sort of like live feedback on December 7th. For
yeah,
a show
I was thinking
here.
About trying
we'll
to
do a fun
up,
like show
guy.
Like. Yeah.
So that everybody could see the show through the Skype. You know what I mean? Like Skype
oh, you're
know,
doing
like,
it on Skype? You're gonna, you guys are gonna.
I'm
broadcast
thinking about
them?
It. You know, exactly. So like, all the people from around the country. If I can figure this out, because I've got a really shitty laptop that I traded in on for, and it doesn't have
you don't
a battery. Laugh,
Dan, with your laptop? Do you?
No.
Last dance.
It's too broken. it would crumble.
Well, yeah. Well, that's sweet. That's cool to hear, man. I'm excited about it. I wish I could make it out there because it's close to my son's birthday and all that and Christmas, and I can't make it out there.
Christmas.
I would love
Thanks
to be out there and be a part of that. And I remember when you guys did it last year, I was so disappointed I couldn't make it because it was exactly on my son's birthday. And I know you put on good shows, man. I mean, I've seen videos of it, and I've heard lots about it, and it's just like, yeah, wow, shit. So, yeah, you got to keep us all, you know, up to date on what's going on with all that and or whatnot. But you know what? I got to ask you, especially since you already admitted you're really high. And, and it's all legal. See, that's cool. That's the cool thing. So we've been thinking about introducing a fun new game here on the show live, and I think maybe this might be the appropriate time when we, you know, talk about lap dancing and all that. My co-host, Mr. Gosinski, and I, we were talking about, a MILF and Filth game. MILF and Filth lap dance, okay? All right. And
okay.
by that, I mean, it's like if there was anybody, be them a celebrity or, you know, someone in the small press, name three people you would want to get a lap dance from, be it a MILF, a mother I'd like to fuck, or a filth, a father I'd like to fuck.
Interesting.
We're being all honest here. I'm going to give my answers, too.
Okay. The mom from Everybody Loves Raymond, of course. Patricia Heaton, I think that is her name.
Uh-huh. That's a good one. She's
yeah,
cute.
Ethel Mertz. Ethel Mertz from I Love Lucy.
Uh-huh. And... Oh, come on. Seriously? Really?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
All right. That's cool.
And the mom from Harry and the Hendersons. Never done.
The mom from Harry and the Hendersons. Let's see. I can't
yeah.
remember who she is. All I remember
or
is Don Lithgow.
Maybe April O'Neil from Ninja Turtles. I don't know if she was classic. Technically a mom.
That's a good answer.
I imagine her and Casey Jones did get together and have a child, so by default, yes, April O'Neil.
So what about you, Mr. Gosinski? MILF and filth. Lap dance.
Well, I know I told you when you mentioned the segment to me before, I said Gary Busey.
Gary Busey?
Put a wig on Gary Busey.
I'd pay fucking money to see you get a lap dance from Gary Busey.
I would too. That sounds frightening as fuck.
That would be insane.
That sounds like a nightmare. It sounds like an X-ray.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. On a serious note,
No, I think you're all serious because
yeah,
no, that was all three filths in one, dude. That's it. Yeah, you just drop the
yeah.
mic after you say Gary Busey and walk off the stage, like.
Oh shit! Okay. On a serious note, okay, it's hard for
yeah.
us to take you seriously now because yeah, okay. On a serious note, beyond Gary Busey, okay, go ahead. We're not going to judge you.
Not going to judge me. It's our decision to pick only three. I mean, you know.
Only three. Well, we're trying to, you know.
Definitely.
Okay. Definitely
Gillian Anderson from The X-Files, that chick.
Really? The redhead?
Good
yeah.
choice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
definitely
she's
her,
cute.
Man. I've had a crush on that chick ever since that pubes, man.
she's cute. I can see that. Okay. Do you think he'd be good at it, though, given a lap dance? Better than Gary Busey, you think?
I don't know.
Or would you be
Gary,
more turned on?
Kind of
who would you be more turned on by?
I mean, Gary would be really into it.
Busey may even eat like a fucking ham sandwich while doing it, you know. So.
Yeah, no, you'd eat a sandwich in your face. But that would be like the most intense. That'd be the most intense fucking lap dance of all time. That would frighten me.
That shit would go viral on YouTube. Gary Busey with a ham sandwich. Giving you a lap dance. That's beautiful. All right. But yeah, I know. You're being all serious now. Okay. He's being serious.
Oh, yeah.
Serious. Okay.
I don't know. Marissa Tomei. I like Marissa Tomei.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. Marissa Tomei is cool. I mean, shit, I got to pick a third one, huh?
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey takes it all, you know. That'd be like having the Hoff involved, you know.
The Hoff from?
The Hoff.
You mean Hoff from? Or are we talking about
the
old show?
The Hoff.
The Hoff.
That'd be like having it. I also
from Bonanza? You mean dun 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 Bonanza?
Bonanza.
Bonanza. The Hoff.
You said
Hoff.
Bonanza? No, I said the Hoff.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
The Hoff.
Sorry.
fucking God. Shit. So, thank you. I guess, I always like the chick from, that black chick from Star Trek. Uhura, the chick who played Uhura.
The original Star Trek from
Michelle,
the 60s, right?
Yeah, Michelle Nichols. I always like Michelle, so there you go. There's my three.
Dude, what a fucking reach. I love it. That was awesome. Yeah.
Fucking reach. Well, he had to cover his ass after Gary Busey, I mean.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, dude, Captain Janeway. That's another MILF blast.
Oh, hey, there you go. Yeah.
Oh.
7 of 9,
Captain Janeway. She seems kind of like a cold bitch to me. I don't know.
She's lost in deep space, dude. I mean, you're going to be a cold bitch if you're lost in deep space. That's kind of how it is.
That's the way. So how about you, Fougé?
Oh, me. Oh, Lord. I got to admit, okay. My current crush, I mean.
Here we go.
You guys are going to just, ream my ass for this, but fucking Miley Cyrus, you know what? She can wreck my balls with her wrecking ball any day of the week. Her current haircut and everything, the hair, my hair's going to look that real soon. I mean, I already have, the mohawk and all that, but I'm going to dye it, yellow or blonde or whatever you call that color.
And get down on your tongue or what?
My tongue? What the? No.
Her tongue.
Yeah, okay. So Miley Cyrus. I gave you Miley Cyrus. Okay. All right. God damn it. Gay Miley Cyrus. That was a bisexual Miley Cyrus.
Billy Ray.
I'm just being honest with you fuckers. All right. Okay. My next choice. Oh, boy. Oh, God. We got Miley. I mean, that's my current crush. Lord.
It's hard. See, you thought it was easy.
It's not easy, I know. And I remember back in the 90s and the late 80s, I had a huge crush on Madonna. And, and I kind of feel like Madonna and Miley are kind of on the same wavelength. So, yeah, Madonna. Yeah, I know she's pushing, 60? But I think that bitch is in better shape than me and, half of the rest of the, world. And I think she could give a mean ass lap dance. I really do. I still find her very attractive. Let's see. Gosh. And you gave me the Paul Corman. I mean the Gary Busey thing. So I'm going to say Paul Corman Roberts.
Paul Corman.
I would say, as far as, men go, you got Gary Busey, I'm going to say Paul Corman Roberts. If I can a lap dance from Paul Corman Roberts, that would be pretty badass. That would be pretty badass. But, there's
you
also...
You have to wear a wig,
But then, of course, there's also Frank Reardon. I'm sure he's been up there. He's been isolated in what do they call that place? Minot? Minot?
Minot,
yes.
Dude,
he might be desperate enough.
The temperature there is already below zero, man.
Exactly, below zero.
Before Thanksgiving. Fuck.
He might be desperate enough to give me a lap dance, but anyhow.
you might have to dress up like one of the livestock.
But you know what? Frank Reardon, speaking of Frank Reardon, he said he saw some weird zombie movie here recently called Stalled, like a B zombie movie. And he swears up and down. The main character looks just like me, wearing a hat and shit and glasses. And
wow.
I watched the trailer and I was like, holy shit, it does look like me. And it's like a British guy. So I promised him I was going to do a quote here from that movie. And give a shout out to him because he has a really cool book out right now, actually called Blood Music, from Punk Hostage Press. And but anyhow, so I'm gonna do this really quick here. I'm gonna try to sound English because he says, you know, he swears up and down the guy looks just like me, and he says, you know, I want to hear you say this quote in an English accent. Okay, here we go. Okay, I gotta be serious about this. You know, no Paul Corman Roberts or anybody else. Give me lap dances. Here we go. All right. Help! There's zombies in your toilet. And yeah, there we go. Help! There's zombies in your toilet. Help! There's zombies in your toilet. Help! There's zombies in your toilet. I don't know which version he will like the best, but hopefully he likes it. Hopefully. But yeah, good old Frank Reardon. Yeah, he cracks me up, and he's a talented writer and all that. So. Now, I guess that's from the movie Stalled. I guess we should all, like, see it sometime. I guess it's some sort of B-movie, zombie movie. And, I love zombie movies. So, that's pretty cool. And if I look like the main character, you know, if the main, you know, the protagonist or whatever you want to call him, you know, is as hot as me, then, you know, goddamn, they got something good going there. But anyhow. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll stick with Gary Busey, Brian.
So, yeah, I haven't convinced either one of you to get a lap dance by me. Even with an English accent, huh? Well, fuck you both. You know what? I'm just going to pay $60 to cuddle with this the Sam Hess woman.
I still can't believe $60, man.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's just that just blows my mind. And I swear to God, I'm going to try, and I have been trying to get her to come on the show. I think it would be interesting, to say the least. You know, especially if she carries around, you know, this pointy couboutin. Is that how you pronounce it? A couboutin, a pocket-sized sharp stick. I mean, that's a reassurance. Like, you know, you.
Wouldn't that get in the way of the cuddle, or what?
I don't know. Where does she keep her couboutin, you know?
and for $60, you know, nothing better get in the way of that cuddle, and I better get a full hour's worth.
Right, and there better not be no couboutin, you know, poking into my my no-no places. I mean, good Lord. So anyhow, hey... Mr. William Seward Bonney. All right, I'm sorry we got off subject here.
It's okay.
It's unforgivable. No, but I'm sure we have asked you this question before, too, and something we typically ask most guests is, okay, do you make eye contact when you make love?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, wow. Most people aren't that, like, bold or, like... You do.
I don't give a shit. I don't ever get asked these kinds of questions, so whenever I do, why not?
Oh, do you seriously, though? Do you?
Yeah, no, definitely.
All right. And you're cool with that. And your partner is always cool with that? Or does it enhance the experience? Or
just happens. I'm big on eye contact. You know, in conversation, in my day-to-day life.
Oh, that's a good one. Conversation. So, like, do you have, like, fun banter while in the process, or what?
You got to have witty banter. You know,
right,
you're not
right.
Having witty banter. You're not having fun with life. You need to reevaluate some things.
I agree. Totally agree. That's great. Okay, so I've also found that, you know, threesomes reveal a lot about us, you know, about everybody. If you were in a threesome, foursome, or moresome, would you prefer to be the queen bee or the worker bee?
The fuck does that mean? Okay, I understand what that means. 50-50.
Okay. Depends on the dynamics of the situation.
Well, there's only one dynamic in my mind. It's two women and myself. And that's, you know, you gotta work with that.
So you really the worker bee then.
Well, you know, 50-50. There's certain times
right.
when you don't have to work. But yeah.
Well, right. Okay. All right. That's great. That cracks me up. So, all right, man. So, as far as like this show coming up, so it's Tiny Amps Records versus the Literary Underground of Colorado, right? Two.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up
mm-hmm.
on Pearl Harbor Day,
mm-hmm.
which is
December
7th. Yeah.
Yes, sir. At Crash 45, which really
yeah,
cool
Crash
bar.
Yeah, Crash 45. What's that venue like?
It's a bar over on the east mm-hmm. side over by the convention center. Owned by some fellow Texans. do some awesome welding. So there's some welding sculptures all in there. It's a really cool venue, big patio, a little side room with art where the music will be set up and the poetry will be set up, and then a larger room that's for drinking and having fun. So
right.
It's actually one of the oldest bars in Denver.
Really? Wow,
Western
I didn't know
not,
that.
Yeah. Crash 45 as itself is not the oldest bar, but the building is one of the oldest active running bars in Denver. So it's pretty cool from that standpoint.
Yeah, that
so.
Is cool. That's really cool. Wow. I didn't know that. So, hey, how about we play a little tune from one of the bands, Architect, the Telling Loom.
For
and
sure.
then we'll come right back and we'll wrap this up. What do you say, man? You down with
Sounds
that?
Great.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, man. Here we go. The Telling Loom by Architect, one of the bands that's going to be at this upcoming event here in Colorado.
You
there we go. The Telling Loom by Architect, which is going to be at the upcoming show here on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, 2013, in Denver, Colorado at Crash 45. Tiny Amp Records versus the Literary Underground of Colorado. Man, all right. Hey, William Seaward Bonney, it's always fun to hang with you on the show and to talk to you.
Yes,
you
sir.
Are always so much fun and just so chill. And thank you so much, buddy, for coming on here and being a support and doing this.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, right on. And I hope the show, you know, is great, and I want to hear a lot about it. And maybe we can set up something where, you know, we can do some sort of, like, fun, like, live correspondence with you guys or with somebody or anybody going on or whatever at the during the show. Well, I mean, you know, especially, you know, I mean, Mr. Harvong and Dustin Holland, whom I'm really familiar with. And, you know, I'm anxious to, like, hear or see videos of, you know, some of these other poets that you have mentioned, such as, you know, Brooke Thies, as in Thesis, and, you know, Ariel Roberts, and, of course, Randall Chambers. And, you know, I think it's so cool that you're supporting your local scene there as far as musicians and poets and writers and the arts. You know, man, that I admire the hell out of that, and I think that's beautiful. And I think it's really cool you're doing that and making the show happen, and you're going to keep it an ongoing thing. I mean, that's just, to me, you know, I mean, that's what it's all about, you know? It's like, it's all grassroots, man, and, you know, if we can't support each other and support one another, then, you know, we're definitely all fucked. But amen, man, you got the shit going on there, and I appreciate you hanging out with us, buddy.
Fuck yeah, I appreciate you having on, you having me on, and, you know, it's always nice to get out of my comfort zone and be throwing curveballs. So,
out of your comfort
well.
Zone. Oh. You seemed comfortable the whole time. I didn't see you feeling uncomfortable at all. But you know what? I appreciate you just hanging with us and rolling with the shit, man. It's been fun. It's been great. Thank you so much. And best of luck with the upcoming show, man. And
for sure, man.
Yeah. All right. Take it easy and good night.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Take it easy, man.
Later, bud. Gary Busey for life.
Gary Busey for life. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, you've been branded with the Gary Busey.
I think so.
I think so, too. I mean, it's like I'm sitting here having, like, hallucinations about it right now. Gary Busey giving you a lap dance with his crazy-ass hair and whatever.
Have you ever seen, what was it, have you ever seen Under Siege, the Steven Seagal movie?
There's been Steven Seagal, like, marathons going on the TV lately here, buddy.
Yeah, Busey dresses up as a chick in that one, I think, in the beginning.
Really? That inspired your lap dance.
Oh, you know it. I'm telling you, you'd eat a ham sandwich, it'd be beautiful.
Eating a ham sandwich, what exactly is on that ham? Is there some lettuce, tomato, and stuff sticking out of the edge? Is it wheat bread, white bread, rye bread?
I don't know.
I'm really getting into this, so you got to...
I think Busey would be a Miracle Whip guy myself.
A Miracle Whip, huh? I bet he would.
He seems like the kind. He'd be in a Miracle Whip.
Miracle. I can imagine him giving you some Miracle Whips in your lap. Yeah.
he put the whip on it. We play a little Bangers by Miley Cyrus in the background to set the mood. Boom.
Really? You would play Miley Cyrus in the background to set the mood with Gary Busey? See, I don't buy that shit. No, I don't think Gary Busey would buy that shit. I think he would need something different.
What, like Bon Jovi?
Bon Jovi. I don't know. You tell me. This fantasy seems to be building up in your head. I mean,
We had a story.
You obviously
about
have some ideas already pre-planned. I mean,
hey, all we need is the ham sandwich, the Miracle Whip, and the Bon Jovi. That's it.
Ham sandwich, Miracle Whip, and Bon Jovi.
That's it. It's a beautiful.
That sounds like the title for my next goddamn chapbook. That's great, man. Oh, shit.
Oh.
Okay, it's going to take me a while to recover from that one.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people, you know, won't be sleeping tonight because they'll be thinking about Busey.
I'm going to sleep like shit tonight, thanks, man. Because I'm going to be thinking about, Gary Busey with a ham sandwich, Miracle Whip, Bon Jovi, giving you a lap dance.
Does Busey have any kids or anything? He's got kids, doesn't he? Didn't he, like, did he breed with somebody?
I think he did. Somebody was dumb enough.
Imagine that fucker waking you up in the morning to go to school.
imagine that fucker
your eyes
waking you up. Well,
Busey leaning over the bed, time to get up. You know, oh, fuck.
Okay, well, even worse, imagine that Gary Busey spooning you at night and rolling over and, like, with a hard-on, late-night hard-ons and, like,
no.
And just trying to, like, you know.
Now that woman, would that woman charge more if somebody's a creep like Gary Busey? Would it cost more than $60 an hour?
Oh, I'm sure she's got varying rates. And, you know, we'll see. Well, hopefully, I swear to God, I hope we can get Sam Hess on here. You're going to cuddle a stranger or whatever? Yeah. You're going to carry deadly weapons while doing it? Yeah, you probably should. Unless, you know, there's a happy ending. Because, you know what? I'm going to have a deadly weapon in my hand if I'm going to pay $60 an hour to get cuddled.
Yes.
Because if I don't have a happy ending, I'm going to be pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, something's got to happen. I mean, that's $60 an hour, and you get blue balls to boot. Yeah, no way.
Yeah, I don't see that, man.
Right.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Don't buy it for 1 second, man. I'm gonna start carrying a Coupeton everywhere I go. You know, I don't need a firearm, and that's a whole other show. There, firearms. You know, guns. The whole gun issue. There we go. Right there. You know, I'm just going to carry a Coupeton from now on. Which, as she described in this article, a pocket-sized sharp stick. I think I already have one of those in my pants.
You can use it when you cuddle with her.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll use my, I will rub my Coupeton upon her ass as I spoon with her for $60 an hour. So anyhow, makes me a horrible person because I want to rub my Coupeton upon some strange woman charging $60 an hour to cuddle. But anyhow, it's been a great show, man. We are upon the end here, and it's been fun and great. We had, you know, Kay Dose and William Seward Bonney on, and they were both fun and good sports and everything. So, yeah. And we know something about, everyone's MILF and filth lap dance preferences, at least, this week. All right. So we're gonna just fade out here tonight with a little bit of, let's see here. Oh, how about a little bit of this? Here we go. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much, Mr. Michael D. Gosensky.
Yes. Enjoy having nightmares of Gary Busey.
I absolutely will.
I hate the word, and I hate hell all my years.
I had a dream last night, 'cause it looked like a dream. dream last night, but it looked like a dream. Mercy, mercy, I made a call. Make me a sick so I can get it off. Heaven help me, my head's spinning round. Stop this airplane, cause I got to get down. I had a dream.